Yud Dalad Kislev, Thursday the 12th of December, Rabbi Sholom Segal, Botany and Leadership.
Yeah, Mr. Bellamy died. So
good morning, Bereshis Lo Yimari. That is a lesson in botany, and leadership, not a lesson in Boris and leadership. As I was just running through the park, coming in, seeing everyone going voting, Bezaz Hashem, we'll see today what Chazal had to say about leadership. We only have to turn to a Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Gimel, the Gemara says, Mai Mevorech, what bracha does a person make on their Chanukah? It's referring to the first bracha that a person makes, and it says there, you make a bracha, Asheke Dishonu B'mitzvah Yisav V'tzivonu, and the Gemara says, "Veheichon tivonu." Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us to make the bracha to perform this mitzvah? It's a mitzvah d'rabbanon. So the Gemara gives two answers. Either it's the mitzvah of Leisosor, the Torah says you have instruction not to veer from what Chazal instruct us. And the second possibility is She'al Avicha V'Yageidcha Zekinecha V'Yemirudach. We are instructed to go and take counsel, take advice from our elders, those who, and the ancestors, predecessors. These are the two sources the Gemara gives. And what jumps off the page is, why over here? Why does the Gemara ask this question by the mitzvah of Chanukah? It could ask the same question by any mitzvah d'rabbanon that we make a bracha on. The Gemara could have asked this question, the Heichon Tivonu. We could have asked it by Megiddo. We could have asked any mitzvah d'rabbanon. We could have asked the same question. Heichon Tivonu, we would have been given the same answer. So why over here is there any sort of deeper connection to the Yom Tov of Chanukah? So what I want to do, Bezaz Hashem, today in the next 25 minutes or so is take a look. We'll see how Bezaz Hashem history comes full circle, starting really from Parshas Vayetzi, working all the way through to the end of Sefer Yehoshua, and then from there to the Chanukah story. But beginning from this week's Sedra, we have in this week's Sedra, Vatete Dinah. Dinah goes out, she's captured by Shechem. Shechem takes a liking to her, he decides he wants to marry her. He comes to Yaakov and he puts the proposition to him. Yaakov says, we'll wait for his sons to come back from the fields. They come back and the sons give the idea, they say, if you want to have chasanas between you and us, you have to undergo Bris Milah. And that's exactly what they do. Shechem goes back, and the hold of Shechem undergo the Bris Milah. It comes the third day, and Shimon and Levi, Vayibi Yesom Kayavim, they take advantage of the weakness of the people of Shechem, and they go and wipe them out. So the Pasuk says, Vayyemi Yaakov al Shimon and Levi. Yaakov said to Shimon and Levi, Achar temos yirav yisheni b'yeshev ha'aretz. It goes on. He berates them. What are you doing? I'm going to be attacked from all sides now. Vayomeru, so they respond, Hachazona yaseh esachay seni. What do you want us to do? To leave our sister as a harlot, as a zayna? The question is, how have they responded? You put all of us in jeopardy because of one person. The Arachayim asked the Kasha, if she's already in captivity, yeah, there's a halacha that if people come along, bandits come along, enemies come along, and they say, give over one person or we're going to kill the whole lot of you. Yes, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to give over a single person, unless there's one exception to that, and that is if they single out a person and say, give that person, otherwise we're going to kill the whole lot of you, including that person. That's the one exception. But here she's already been captured. So the Arachayim asks, what's their response? Hachazona yaseh esachesinu, what did they want with that? So perhaps we could suggest the following. If we take a look at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, we all know the Medrash there, that Yaakov lies down. He lies down to sleep in the Mokom HaMikdash, and before he lies down to sleep, Vayikach me'avnei HaMokom, he takes 12 stones and places them around his head. And Chazal tell us that the reason why he did this, Rashi says, brings a Medrash, is to protect himself from the Chayis Rois, from the wild animals. And everyone, I think, asks the same question, how are a few stones going to help protect from the lion, the bear, and all such animals? How's it going to help? From the other side, why didn't Yaakov just put his trust in Hashem? So you could say, a bit of Hishtabis there. But the stones begin to quarrel with one another. This one says, Alay Ani Atzadik Esroeshoi. This one says, Alay Ani Atzadik Esroeshoi. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu joins all the stones together, and they all lie under the head of Yaakov. there's an obvious message over here. The fact that there were 12 stones, I'm sure you realise, corresponds to the 12 Shavuotim. And the message over here is that each of the Shavuotim, each Shevet, has his unique koiches. He's got his unique mission. But all of us are in this together. We are all have to work together. It's like an orchestra. Each one's got their instrument. This one plays the violin. This one will play the drums. Each one's got their own instrument. But we have to play in time. We have to play together. And how do we achieve that? The answer is there's only one conductor. If you've got two conductors, it's not going to work. So too, all the stones join together. But Olai, Yaniach Tzadik Hasroshe, that single united stone now lies under the head of Yaakov Avinu, the conductor. And I will guide you, says Yaakov Avinu. Each of you will use your koiches, drawing from the roots which I provide you. And this was a message, this was a lesson, an ideal that Yaakov Avinu embodied himself. I believe it's from Shimshon Rafael Hirsch picks up on this. The beginning of Parashas Vayeshev. Yitzchok Avinu has been Nifta. Esav Avinu, the great Mechavidov. What happens to Esav? All of a sudden Yitzchok's gone. So can say Esav goes off and starts his own way of life. He's not interested in any of this. Goes off to Seir, starts his own way of life. Yaakov? Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Ovid. So here's the first lesson in terms of government, policies, etc. Yaakov Avinu, he's the new, so to speak, prime minister. You'd think, a new cabinet, new policies, but no. Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Ovid, he understood that he's continuing the legacy of his father, and then he asked himself at every stage of the way, what would my father have done in this situation? And that's the lesson of the stones which Yaakov is passing on to the next generation. In the same way as I'm a link in the chain, from Yitzchok to the next generation, you, my sons, there's 12 of you. You'll have to unite together. But understand that each and every single one of you has to watch the conductor. You have to see what I draw from me, and through that we can succeed. And through that, we will have protection from the Chayos Rois, from the surrounding nations, and anyone who wants to harm us. This, perhaps, is what Yaakov Avinu was accusing his son, Shimon Levi, of over here. It was on the third day, when Shechem, still in pain, still weak after the operation of Bris Milah. Says the Pasuk that the two sons of Yaakov, they took their swords and they went and they attacked Shechem. So Rashi says, we know that they're two sons of Yaakov. Says Rashi, Bon of Hoyu. They were his sons. And even so, Noagu Atzmon Shimon Velevi. Shimon and Levi behaved kishara noshim, like other people, she'enon bonov, who are not the sons of Yaakov. She'lo notelu eitza heimen. That was, at their level, the fi madrigos, and that was Yaakov's criticism. You're my two sons. If you look at the pasukim time and time again over there, it says bonov, the bnei Yaakov. You are my sons, and you should have taken counsel, you should have asked me. It's not a question of whether what you did was correct or incorrect. The problem was that you did it without asking me. Just like, I mean, Lahavdil, obviously I'm just showing it as a parallel. But you see, there's a halacha that if a novi who is misnabei b'shem b'avedas kechovit, the halacha is he's chayav misa, even if kibein the halacha, even if the halacha is correct, what he's saying is absolutely true. But if he says it b'shem b'avedas kechovit, that's not teiras Hashem, he's chayav misa. Whether the way you acted in and of itself was correct or incorrect, that's not the point. But it didn't come from the tzaddik who's lying on top of that stone. It didn't come from me. And therefore he said, now we don't have the protection from the surrounding chayes rois, from the enemies surrounding us. We don't have that protection. Now suddenly I'm afraid, what are they going to do? What did they respond? This was a case of kanos. We know there's a halacha kanoim pogim boy. In their opinion, Shimon and Levi felt this was a case, not a time to ask. We know that halacha kanoim pogim boy, you're not allowed to ask. Get up and do. If you ask, we'll tell you you're not allowed to do it. They felt this is a case of a kanoim pogim boy. Yaakov disagreed. She was a pnuyo. This wasn't quite the same. Didn't come under that. He felt it didn't qualify for kanoim pogim boy. You should have asked. You should have asked my opinion before going ahead.
Kanoim pogim boy was in the whole community?
That's a separate question. Why you're saying why did it apply to the whole of Shechem? That's perhaps a separate question. The next thing we have, that, I mean, to be honest, again, that could have been a sort of preempting, because the whole community would be rid of him, if you see what I mean. If they attack Shechem, they'll be attacked from all sides. Okay, but that's a good separate question. I think it's talked about what was the justification to get rid of them. The next thing we have is Yaakov Avinu then turns to the sons, and he says, give me everything, all the spoils you've got from Shechem, give them to me. Vayitznu ad Yaakov, they give them to Yaakov, eskola lehi anichor asher biyodom, literally means idolatry, everything that come from idolatry, idolatrous sources. And Yaakov buried them, he hid them under the Eidol tree that's by Shechem. And Rashi says, what is an Eidol tree? Rashi says, an Eidol tree is, it's an Ilon Sirach. It's a non-fruit-bearing tree. The same point again Yaakov Avinu's conveying. If you plant a tree, it's only going to bear fruit if it's got roots. If you sever the roots from the tree, no matter how brilliant the tree may look, but the minute you sever it, there will be no sustenance, no nourishment being passed through to the tree, and ultimately the tree will not bear fruit and it will just die. Yaakov Avinu said, what you did may or may not have been correct, but since it didn't come from the roots, it wasn't connected, this maaseh will not bear fruit, it's not going to be something productive, therefore we have to sever, sort of get rid of everything you've got from Shechem, and we have to start again. That was the message that Yaakov Avinu gave to them. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, this place, Shechem, was a mokum mezuman l'peronis. This place was somewhat stymied. We have Inu Estino Bishchem, the whole story, the episode with Dino took place in Shechem. Then we have Yosef was sold in Shechem. And then finally we have Malchus Beis David, Rechavam. We have the division of Malchus Beis David, that also took place in Shechem. But if you think about it, all of them really come to one common denominator. Let's explain the next stage, that of Yosef being sold. If we think back to that dream in Parashas Vayetze, well, not the dream, the story, the way the stones join together. So it always bothered me, you've got 12 stones here arguing. They're all arguing. So what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes them all join, they all join together. Well, how have you solved the problem? So now you've got one massive stone. Yaakov Avinu's head hasn't grown. So his head is still going to be on this part of the stone or that part of the stone. It's either Reuven's part of the stone, Shimon's part of the stone. How has it helped? So you can say, yeah, but they all feel one big stone together. But the truth is, if you look at Rashi and Chulin, the answer is very clear. It's not the shot that they fused together and became one large stone. Rashi says they were all swallowed up, Niblu, all the stones were swallowed up into one single stone. That means to say there was one stone, the size of Yaakov Avinu's head, and all the others were swallowed up into it. Now if I was to ask you, which one of the stones did it get swallowed up into? So some may say Yehuda, leadership, some may say Reuven. I would say it's Yosef. Yosef, the protege of Yaakov Avinu, the Ma'asef, the one who gathers everyone together. But more significantly, Yosef is, as I said, the protege of Yaakov in the sense that Yosef, in the same way as we said, that all the children, all the Shevatim, each and every one drew their kochos from Yaakov Avinu. The next generation, the bridge between themselves and Yaakov Avinu was Yosef. Think of Moshiach. Moshiach is going to come from who? From Yehuda. Moshiach Ben Dov is going to come and he's going to finish it all off. But who will have to begin the process? It's Moshiach ben Yosef. It has to begin from Yosef. There's many other examples of this. It begins with Yosef, and it goes on from there. Yosef was the 11th Sheva. What's the Lashon HaKodesh for the number 11? Or? Sa'achad Osa, or? Ashtey Osa. Ashtey Osa, whichever one, right? Now that, more often than not, it's Achad Osa. But the number Ashtey Osa also comes, I think, less than 20 times, I think it is, in the whole of Na. What does that word, what's Ashtey Osa, what does that mean? So I think it's the Ibn Ezra, he says the word Ashtey Osa, he says, is a deep mathematical idea. But he says, the word Ashtey, we say it every morning in the Halalukos, in Pesukei de Zimra, Eshtey Noisov. Maybe say it in the, what does the word Eshtey Noisov mean? It means his machshavos. And if I've understood the Ibn Ezra correctly, he seems to be saying the following. Just like you find in Parashas Bereishis, it says, V'hoyu levosar echot. Al-keni al-zovish esom v'esimai. Husband, wife, they'll literally forsake, they'll leave the father and mother, and they will, the zovak bishten, man will cleave to his wife. V'hoyu levosar echot, they will become one. Says Rashi, through the child, shenotzar mibeneihem. What does that mean? It means the child, the single child who is born from between them, he is the expression of their single united body. Both in a biological sense, in a spiritual sense. That's what it means, vayulavosa echot, through the vlad. So too when you've got 10 individuals, you've got 10 individuals who come to shul. What's changed? We had 9, now we've got 10. What's changed? The answer is when you've got 10 join together, they can become one. They no longer remain 10 individual separate pieces of the puzzle. They join together and they become essentially one. When you've got achadosar can still mean, so I have 10 single particles, 10 single pieces, now I've got 11. Ashteosar means that the 11th one is the machshobo, I think it's Loshen, Ibn Ezra, it's what's born out from the 10. In the same way as the vlad, which is born from the father and mother, is the expression, is the symbol of that unity, so too the Ashteosar, the 11th, Yosef was the expression that all 10 sons, Binyamin obviously wasn't yet in the picture, how Binyamin fits in is a separate question, but he was the expression that all those 10 sons truly have united as one. Yosef is the Ma'asi. And this was really what the brothers were challenging in next week's Sedra in Parashas Vayeshev. In Parashas Vayeshev, Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef, go down to the sons that are around Shechem, those sons in Shechem. So Yosef knows, he's not stupid, he's not naive, he knows he's going into the lion's den. But if Yaakov told me to do it, he listens to his father. And that is in stark contrast to the brothers. The brothers, I believe I've seen this in, I think I found this idea, that the brothers felt we don't need Yosef. Yosef, the single, as we said, the Ma'asi, the one who will unite all of us, the one from whom we will all draw our sort of kochos. We don't need Yosef. We've got Yaakov. We're all sons of Yaakov. What's so special about Yosef? And therefore they sold him down to Mitzrayim. Again, Shechem. It started with an attack on the leadership of Yaakov, and the next attack was on the leadership of Yosef, the Ma'asi. And the end result was, as we've said, Moshiach ben David is going to come following Moshiach ben Yosef. If you don't recognize the need for Yosef, then Yehuda will also, the leadership of Yehuda will also be somewhat compromised. And therefore Malchus based David, Midor Keneged Midor, Malchus based David was also divided. Without the Miyasef, without the recognition of the need for a Yosef, the ultimate result is that there will not be this sense of unity. You will not get the whole of Klal Yisrael uniting under one Malchus based David. That was the progression in Shechem. Yosef, we just continue on the story now. Yosef goes down to Mitzrayim. He comes to Beis Potiphar. He's about to commit this, so to speak, this Aveira with Eishes Potiphar. At the last moment, Olot Yukna Shaloviv, his father's image appears in front of him, and he's Polish. So the Gemara says in Yuma that Yosef is going to be Mechayve Sarashayim. People are going to come up, Lachem Eves, and they're going to be asked, why did you fail in life? And they're going to say, my Yitzhara was too big for me. So the Beis and Shemal is going to say, and was your Yitzhara any bigger than Yosef? At that moment with Eishes Potiphar. So Dinah Bramsky, Zeichzadik Levrachi, asked, what do you mean? But he had Olad Yukla Shalom. Can you imagine if your father's image popped up in front of you? And especially if that father happens to be Yaakov Avinu, do you think you'd be able to do an Aveira? It's not an even playing field. So Dinah Bramsky said, this wasn't a nace. It's not pshat that suddenly the Diokno Shel Yaakov Avinu popped up in front of him. So Dinah Bramsky, Yosef, he conjured up the picture of his father wherever he went. In the same way as he went into the lion's den in Shechem. He knew he was going into the lion's den, but if that's what the Tata says, that's what I do, I don't ask. So too when he was about to commit this act with Eishes Potiphar, without any suffering whatsoever, Yosef had made the cheshbonos, he felt this was the correct thing to do, but one final check, what would my father say? And he conjured up the picture of his father, in the same way as Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurei Aviv, so to Yosef, brought up Diokno Shel Aviv, and he said his father wouldn't say this is a good idea, and he was Polish. This was Yosef. Yosef was however many miles away from his father in a geographical sense. But in a more spiritual sense, he was still attached to his father, the Kesha Shel Kayom. And as a result of that, Yosef was zocha to bear children in Mitzrayim, the first of which he called Ephraim, ki Ephrani Erekim be'eretz Oni, the expression of Peres. And this is the contrast between the two sides. On the one hand, the children of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, here they are, they're right there with their father. But because they didn't ask, Shalom Notsu Eitzahimenu, Yaakov Avinu says, give me the Elohe Anechar, this is sort of foreign to us. He says, this will never bear fruit. And on the other side, you have Yosef, the one who's prepared to go into the lion's den, because that's what the Tata says. The person who's geographically, he's well away from his father. He's gone down into an arid land. Remember, the last piece of learning he had from his father was the Egla Arufa. He's going into an arid land, infertile in terms of trying to build a Jewish, bring up a Jewish family. But since Olot Yukna Shalomim, wherever he went, he took the image of his father with him. Ki Efran Yerikim Beretz Oni, he was able to bear fruit even in Mitzrayim. And therefore in Parashas Vayechi, coming towards the end of Yosef's whole sort of journey, Yaakov and Yosef, Yaakov says, I'm going to give you Shechem Achad. Arachefa Shalokachti Miyato Amiri B'charbi V'kashti. This portion of Shechem, had Shimon and Levi done it correctly, perhaps it would have gone to them. But they didn't do it by asking me. This didn't have any connection to me. Their approach to taking over Shechem will not bear payers. If you wanted to bear payers, that's only through the approach of Yosef, who's constantly attached to his father. He says, I'm giving this Shechem, I'm giving it to you, Yosef. And then Yaakov, as we know, he passed on. Yosef takes on the full mantle of leadership until finally he passes away in Mitzrayim at the age of, it's not a coincidence, 110. That's that magical 11 again. 110, 11, it's the same idea. That's the Ashtei also. Yosef, he's the Ma'asef. The fathers, the brothers have finally come to that recognition. They needed Yosef. As I think the Mephorah, the base of the Medrash, Vayigash Eilov Yehuda, he understood that in order for Moshiach ben David to come forth, you first need the Moshiach ben Yosef. This lesson, we could take it further, we could take a look just very briefly. Parshas Korach, we have there the challenge against the leadership of Moshe. Zimri from the tribe of Shimon hasn't learned his lesson. He challenges the leadership of Moshe. Who do you have on the other side? You have Pinchas from the tribe of Levi. We know Moshe, they're crying there, they didn't know what to do when Zimri challenges him. Pinchas says to Moshe, I know the halacha, I remember you taught it to me. It's Kanoim Pogin, bro. So Moshe says, the person crying a degrator, Iwili Avi Pravanka, you should carry this one out. And Pinchas goes, Kanoim Pogin, bro. He takes Cosby and Zimri, cast them down, and he, Vayifalel, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, also Pridos, he, as it were, he challenged his creator. He says, because of these people, this is why, for this, 24,000 people should die. So in Shomayim, they wanted to be Deicher Pinchas. How can he speak like that? So the Gemara says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, leave him alone. Kanoi ben Kanoi. And says, Rashi, who was that first Kanoi we're referring to? He's from Levi. The one who said, HaChazona Ya'aseh Es HaChoseini. The only difference is, there, that wasn't apparently the place for Kanoi and Pogimboi. Yaakov Avinu felt over there, that, at that juncture, they should have not to wait so. Here, Pinchas, he's learned the lesson. On the contrary, even before getting up and carrying out Kanoi and Pogimboi, he said to Moshe, I believe this is the halacha. But Moshe said, no, now's not a time to ask. Go ahead, carry out your Kanois. If we go to Sefer Yehoshua, as I said, this is just the last piece of the puzzle. We come to the end of Sefer Yehoshua. The end of Yehoshua ben Nun's life. Yehoshua ben Nun, he is the leader. When I say the leader, based on the Gemara in Yevamos, everything he did was Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. To the extent, the Gemara says in Yevamos, he didn't need to tell the people. What I'm telling you now is from Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone knew that. Anything Yehoshua said, this must have come from Moshe, which came from Hashem. That was Yehoshua, complete his batlus to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yehoshua is berating the people. And it's again, where's Yehoshua from? Yehoshua from the tribe of Ephraim. Yosef, but more importantly from Ephraim. Yehoshua understands if you want Klal Yisrael to bear fruit. You can't go in the path of Shimon and Levi, Shalom not to Eitzah, for that you get an Elah. There will be an Elon Sirach, there won't be any fruit. If you want us to bear fruit, what do you have to have? Kifrani likim eretz oni, you have to ask, Sh'al avicha ve'agetcha, sekinecha ve'yomeru lach. And he's berating the people and he's saying, I know you're going to forsake the judges, you're going to forsake the Nevi'im, you're not going to listen to them. And the people say, no, we are committed, we are committed. Finally, Yeshua says, you're committed. Right at the end of Sefer Yeshua. So Yeshua writes it down, Vayikach Eden Gedoilo, and he takes a large stone. Vayikimeho Shom Tachas Ho'alo Asher B'Mikdash Hashem. Rashi says, what is this alo? Says Rashi, some explain, this is the Eidah tree, that Yosef, that Yaakov buried the Erehe Anichar in the story in this week's Sedra. In other words, what's going on over here is the Eidah tree has become an Alo tree. Not to be confused with what the Muslims refer to. Right there. Yeah, the Alo tree is with a Patach. Patach refers, is a Pesach. What that means to say is, the Eidah tree has now got a Pesach. Yeshua said to the people, like the Pasuk says in B'chukosai Teirechu, if you follow the dictates of the Torah, if you follow the Masorah of Torah, you listen to what your leaders have to say, then the eitz hasada yitin period, says Rashi, even the Iloni Sirach will bear fruit. Yeshua took the large stone, that stone, I'm not saying it was the same stone, but that stone which represents that story in Parashas Vayetze, the stone of Achdus, all the brothers coming together, the stone which united under the head of Yaakov, the stone which was all encapsulated, all swallowed up inside Yosef. If you understand what leadership means, then even the Eidah tree can become the Eidah tree. And it goes on, the Pesukim say there, Yeshua ben Nun dies. How old was he? If you don't know, I'm sure you can guess. 110. And then we have, where did they bury him? Besimnas Serach Asher Bahar Ephraim. Says Rashi in one place, he brings Chazal, the Gemara that says, Gemara I think it's in Bava Basra, is it Simnas Cheres or is it Simnas Serach? One place is called Simnas Cheres, one place is called Serach. Say Chazal, Be'etzem, his allotment was Cheres. You couldn't grow anything there. Remember, this is Yosef. Yosef in Mitzrayim, it's an Eglah Arufa. It's arid land. But when Yeshua came in there, what Chazal say in Bava Basra, it became Timnas Serah. The fruit was so luscious, it was so gorgeous, the fruit, there was Masrichim, but from the Rov Shumlon, it just was overripe, the juice was everywhere. Ki Efrani Elikim Be'eretz Oni, if you have that sense of leadership, the impossible becomes possible. And finally, it ends off, the end of Sefer Yeshua, Ves Atmos Yosef, Ashehelu B'nei Yisrael M'Mitzrayim, the bones of Yosef they brought up from Mitzrayim, Kovru B'Shechem. Finally, they were brought to rest in Shechem, together with the bones of obviously of Yeshua ben Nun, Bechelkas Hasoda Shekona Yaakov Meis Bnei Chamor, all the way back, Abi Shechem Meir Kesita Ayuliv Bnei Yosef Nachalo. Says Rashi, four words: Mishechem Gon Vuhu. They stole Yosef from Shechem. Lishchem Hechaziru. Finally, Yosef had been returned. The story has come full circle. This all started in Shechem when there was a challenge to leadership, and finally he's been brought back to Shechem when leadership has been recognized. Turning to the Chanukah story, and with this we'll conclude. When Adam HaRishon, when he sinned that first sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and said, Ayecho, where are you? And with that he was thrown out of Gan Eden. When Klal Yisrael sinned during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, there was Churban. And the word of Yirmiyahu, first word was Eicho. Once again, Ayeko. And the Medrash says, this question of Ayeko is, you've gone. It's Gematria 36, corresponding, says the Medrash, to the 36 Krisas. You've severed your ties with the past. You've severed your ties with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Eloh tree, or the Aloh tree, is also Gematria 36. If there's that sense of disconnect, it's an Elon Tzirah. There will not be any Peiros. However, if you connect to the 36 lights of Hanukkah, the 36, as I'm sure you know, the 36 Masechtos and Shas, that's not the Torah Shebichtav, that's the Torah Shebaal Peh. You connect to the She'al Avicha V'Yageitcha, then even through the darkness of Yavon, who have no Masorah, as the Ramban says in Acharemus, Aristotle, They believed you look up into the sky, what you see exists. What's beyond your vision, your comprehension, just simply doesn't exist. There is no Messiah. But by us, in that darkness, in the darkness of Golus, the Cheshach HaPenetah Ha'im, we have the 36 lights of She'al Avicha V'Ageitcha, the Messiah, which dates all the way back, from father to son, all the way back. When Yaakov Avinu woke up after that dream, he took the Eben. The Eben is a symbol of Yaakov, Mishom Raya, Eben Yisrael, says Rashi, Eben is Avul Ben. The Maharal says that's the material which encapsulates Yaakov Avinu Klal Yisrael. We are Avul Ben, we have Messiah. Vayitzek Shemen al Rosha, and he poured the oil on top of it, as if to say, we may be going into the house of Lavan here, which was his, the Gaon says, his personal goddess Mitzrayim. It may be the house of Lavan, it could be goddess Mitzrayim, it could be goddess Yavan, it could be the goddess we're in today. But if you have that Shemen al Rosha on the Abu Ben, we connect to the past, then by Yom Imahim, we connect to the past. If there's a past with Izman Azeh, then there will be a present. And if there's a present with a past, you can rest assured there will be a future when Be'ezus Hashem will be taken back to the Beis HaMikdash and will see the lights of the menorah in its full glory. Thank you.